numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by DraftKings Live from Bar Canada of the D. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. What's happening?
Not much, buddy. How you doing?
Really want to know?
Got another construction project going on around us today. It's okay.
The Guardians blow a 3-1 eighth inning lead on the cusp of being six outs away from just needing to win tomorrow, and now this.
Yeah.
We'll get to the Guardians here coming up on the show. This is, in many ways, has been the most immersed I've ever been into a bet ever, if I'm being honest, because of the perfect length of it. Right, it's not so quick like it's tennis tournament quick.
Right,
and it's not so long that it's season long where you sort of drift away. But it's the perfect amount of time, and because you have every single team in baseball in your rearview mirror approaching, it is complete immersion and complete. I've watched every single pitch of every single Guardians game, and it looks like the books are going to get away with a big mistake here. We'll explain coming up what the scenarios are now. Because we're not dead yet. Nothing's over till it's over. And there's a different set of circumstances for those of us who bet it at Circa as it is for those of us who bet it at dead heat shops. So we want to get into that. Guardian 65-1, most wins March, April is what we're referring to here.
It was definitely a moment for us on Live Bet Sunday yesterday where I was oh no, I was watching the game out of the corner of my eye when they lost.
You know what the takeaway though is for the whole thing? The Atlanta Braves are so much better than every other team in baseball, it's not even funny. And we'll talk to Mark Borchardt about that coming up here momentarily. Jake Hahn on what has been, for all of us who are soaking in the NBA playoffs, which has been by and large a series of blowout series, with a few exceptions, which we'll get to. The NHL looks like it could have 8-3-1 series if the Golden Knights win tonight. So it hasn't been that competitive. Actually, I shouldn't say 8. One was a sweep. The Caps got swept. So 7 of 8 would be 3-1. Mike Somich on the Kentucky Derby. His thoughts on the NFL draft as well. We'll get into all that. Let's start with the NBA. And let's start, Kelly, with, I guess, the most recent. Let's do it that way. Yesterday's games, beginning with, well, let's start with the one sweep that ended up happening in the first round. Minnesota ends up sweeping Phoenix 4-0. They do so with a 122-116 win yesterday as a one-point dog. Minnesota goes on, and it looks like, shouldn't say this, but Denver up 3-1 in their series against the Lakers. It looks like it'll be a T-Wolves-Nuggets conference semifinal series if the Nuggets can get things done, if they can take care of business. But Anthony Edwards with 40 points. Devin Booker and KD scored a combined 82 of the Suns' 116 points. And I just want to stop for a moment in time because, of course, we'll talk about Minnesota. We'll have plenty of time to talk about Minnesota. But the Phoenix Suns mortgaged everything. And I feel like mainstream networks are so focused on the Lakers all the time that the Suns aren't getting destroyed enough here. And by destroyed, I mean, remember, when they got KD, they sent Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, 4 first-round draft picks, Kelly, 23, 25, 27, and 29, talking about years, a 2028 first-round pick swap, not to mention second-round picks from Milwaukee as well, because it was a three-team trade. And then for Bradley Beal, they sent Chris Paul, Landry Shamet, 5 second-round picks. It's just unbelievable. They mortgaged everything. Not only could they not win a series, Kelly, they could not win a game. Sporttrack has it, by the way.
Yeah, it's real bad. Yeah, this is what the offseason looks like, and all the money that's still left on the books for the Phoenix Suns. It's tough. You're right. The Suns is a conversation. It goes under the radar. Here's the toughest part about this conversation. There's not a lot of answers.
There's nothing to talk about.
Like when people are like, what are the Suns going to do? There's not much they can do. That's the biggest thing. Is Frank Vogel going to lose his job? Probably, because someone loses their job when things like this happen. Right. And you can't players. You're not doing anything with those contracts. I don't know. I've heard Kevin Durant trade stuff, and you're like, you can't trade Kevin Durant. Nobody's taking Bradley Beal's contract. I don't know what they're doing.
Would the Warriors entertain taking KD back and running it back? Or is it just too old and it would be sad at this point?
Well, definitely it would be a little bit that. Yeah. A little bit that, regardless. I'd have to look at the money, though. I don't think they could make the money work.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's so sad, though. Are we all going to think back when Durant's career is done? Are we all just going to say, man, if you could have just stayed with Golden State and realized the greatness that you had there?
Yes, because he's not associated with any one team. He's like that rare player. Like, who does he go in the Hall of Fame as a, like, if this was baseball and you had to put on a cap of the team that you wanted to go in as? Like, who would he pick even?
That's a great question.
I don't know. I mean, he's going to pick the Warriors, I guess. But that's
It's got to be them or Oklahoma City. You can't possibly consider Phoenix or Brooklyn.
In some ways, it's a sort of, I get it, he's one of the greatest players of all time. He's won championships. But in some strange way, there's a little bit of melancholy to it because of that.
There is. And I was thinking a bit about it last night with that. And compare that to the situation that will be continuing to evolve in San Antonio of just, if you're a star player that can swallow your pride and be okay, if you're kind of one of these younger stars, swallow your pride and be able to go play with Victor Wembanyama and be the number two most likely for your entire career, but realize the greatness that you could end up achieving. I can't wait to see that happen, because that is Durant. I mean, Durant bolted out of Golden State because he couldn't handle all the heat he was getting, right? For all you're going to do is win if you're with Steph, right?
If Denver is about a minus 150, minus 160 favorite against the T-Wolves in a series, where's your bet?
This is going to be really tough. I have a feeling I'm not going to be betting that series. Timberwolves get a little bit extra rest here. Not that they even really need it. Nuggets got to play one more game. All the applause in the world to the Lakers.
And by the way, Lakers have led every game big, so never know.
Yeah, the time. What is the time where they've been leading in the series? Have you seen that stat? I'll have to pull that up. Oh. It's the Lakers by a mile. Crazy.
Sure.
I'm not doubting Denver, but like we talked about all along, Minnesota is the one team that gives them trouble defensively. You're going to be able to throw Gobert at Nikola Jokic. It does get interesting, and they get thin real quick, right? Like that Denver starting five has been amazing. There's not much off the bench, and there's not much bigs off the bench to help much. So, I think it's going to be a series. And Anthony Edwards, every game, is just becoming, moves up a notch on my favorite players in the NBA list. Like, he is incredible.
Also yesterday, Indiana takes a 3-1 lead against the Milwaukee Bucks in their best of seven first round Eastern Conference series. Of course, this is the series where there's no Giannis. Dame couldn't play yesterday because his Achilles has issues. And then Bobby Portis gets ejected in the first quarter yesterday. There was a moment there where it looked like Chris Middleton would have to leave the game as well.
I thought he was done. He basically ran straight to the locker room or hobbled.
Do you agree with me? This is the greatest thing that could have ever happened to Doc Rivers, these injuries, that now he doesn't have to take the blame for what's happening here, that they would have probably lost anyway.
I didn't even really think about it that way.
That's all I can think about yesterday.
That's the best thing that could have happened. It is the greatest thing that could have happened to him.
Yep.
Outside of winning a championship, this is the best situation that could have happened for Doc Rivers. That is so bad to say.
It looks like Indiana and New York will play. Looks like. Both are up 3-1 in their respective series. The New York Knicks beat the Sixers yesterday in what I thought was Philadelphia, but I'm watching the Guardians at the sportsbook, and the game they had the audio on, obviously, was the NBA game between the Knicks and the Sixers, and I had to keep looking to remind myself that the game was in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is supposed to be one of the great sports towns in America. It is, right? Overrun with Knicks fans. Overrun. Joel Embiid kind of blamed the game. Game on that. Jalen Brunson, 47-10. Embiid missed all five shots that he took in the fourth quarter. Didn't get a board in the fourth quarter. Anunoby was great on defense. 16-14, by the way. He D'd up Embiid in the fourth. And the Sixers have no bench. Payne had five. Batum had one. And they go back to New York looking for the gentleman sweep to the Knicks. If it's the Knicks and the Pacers, the Knicks are going to be large favorites, aren't they? Yeah. Would you consider taking the Pacers?
Yeah, no. I'll probably consider the Knicks at almost any price.
Really?
I think the Pacers are an extremely flawed team that are going to get by the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't believe in them at all. I'm really interested to see what the price is on that series.
And then the only series so far, and the only other one we haven't discussed from yesterday, the Clippers and the Mavericks out west. They're now knotted up at two games apiece. 2-0, this is the first thing I said to JVT when he was on last week, when they had the first game where they looked terrible with Kawhi. I'm like, they got to do something about this. Like, they're awful with him. And yesterday, no Kawhi. Clippers go to 2-0 in this series without Kawhi, 0-2 with him. James Harden, unstoppable down the stretch, 33-6-7 with the float game. Playoff Paul George showed up yesterday, 33-6-8. In a game where the Clippers were up 31 in the second quarter, the Mavs got within two twice in the third quarter. Like, it didn't even take them that long to make up that deficit, but then the Clippers would go back up 11. The Mavs would eventually tie it at 98-100. They actually took a one-point lead at 105-104, but huge three from Paul George, and then Harden's float game, just unstoppable. This is the one series. It's 2-2. Do you have any idea what to make of this going forward? In a de facto best of three?
I want to say I'm still very confident about the Dallas Mavericks, but Luka Doncic, his knee is looking worse and worse throughout this series. He was clearly affected by that yesterday, big time. I mean, he was in game three. Yesterday it was more noticeable to me. That's an issue. It's a kind of amazing with all these guys involved that this might come down to a Kyrie versus James Harden, Paul George type series. Yeah. It's kind of what it's looking like right now. Jason Kidd's driving me nuts on the Dallas side. So, like, why is Maxi Kleber playing 22 minutes? You just brought in Gafford. You got Derek Lively in the draft. They've been amazing. Why is Kleber out there? I know he's what he's done in the past. Shouldn't be playing this many minutes. Still believe in the Dallas. Still believe.
Of course, Luka getting two fouls in the first 2:23 of that game had an impact as well. We'll talk about Saturday's games a little later, and we'll update the Guardians bet. A little baseball break with Mark Borchardt on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Kentucky Derby time. Are you ready for the greatest 2 minutes in sports? Saddle up with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with code HORSE. The code is HORSE. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. That's the playthrough requirement. Download DK Horse now to join the Run for the Roses action only on the DK Horse app. And we will have Mike Somich with us a little later on to talk about the 150th Run for the Roses.
It's a great looking graphic. Why isn't the promo code just Somich or Somobomb?
Somobomb.
He's got to be doing like 90% of the content.
They were like, should we go with Somobomb or Horse? And they're like, we'll go with Horse.
Or Horse might be easier.
Horse might be easier. People might have trouble spelling Somobomb. To Mark Borchardt, this might have been my fault. I might have moved him along. The second part of the parlay was what?
Phillies. Twins and Phillies money line parlay.
Twins and Phillies. Also, congratulations to our buddy Preston Johnson and Jason Weingarten, but specifically Preston Johnson. Crawley Town.
Made the playoffs?
Made the playoffs. In League
playoffs.
Two. Yeah.
That's awesome. That is one thing I forgot to check this weekend.
It is one of the most awesome sports stories ever because Preston, again, we were just doing podcasts, right? And he was on Daily Wager. He bounces from Daily Wager. They're like, what happened? He's like, I'm out of here. And then Preston ends up buying the soccer team. They hate him. They hate Preston. He's this Yankee who comes in, all this money ball stuff. He's getting rid of all their lovable, great players, supposedly great, and they make the playoffs, baby. Let's go.
The one thing I can tell just looking at the standings a couple times is the lack of draws with the team. I'm like, well, if that doesn't signify an American owner, I don't know what does. Like, we're not going to draw with anybody. We're winning or losing.
And like the players they got rid of didn't make the playoffs, played on this other team. It's just a great story. So now, by the way, if they were to win the playoffs, which is a whole other thing, they would advance to League One. The Wrexham thing is they went from 3-2-1. In consecutive years, but they spent millions of dollars.
I mean, that show's great. They're also very open on it, open about it on that show of how much they're spending,
that's
basically.
Right. That's right. I don't know if this man knows about League Two soccer, but he sure knows about the NHL. It's Jake Hahn, everybody, who joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Of course, Jake, the co-host of The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on Sirius XM NHL. You can follow him on Twitter at JHahn4, the number 4. Why the number 4, Jake?
That's just my number. It's always been my number. So I rolled with four, and I've never changed it. I don't know much about League Two soccer. I can't really help you guys out there. I think I know about as much as Kelly, the fact that he knew that it's a table and not standings. That's far as my knowledge goes.
It's very soccer. Impressive. That's right. When he came out with a table, it's very impressive. All right, let's just do these macro. So in the Eastern Conference, Caps got swept. And then the other three are 3-1. Carolina 3-1 over the Islanders. The Bruins 3-1 over the Maple Leafs. I don't know if you know this. They haven't won a cup since 1967. And then Florida 3-1 over the Lightning. And a couple of those, they just got off the schneid in game four, right? Is there a team that is down 3-1 that you would make a bet on to win, to come back and win the series?
Yeah, in terms of actually coming back to win the series, I just don't see it with any of these teams. I think Carolina wraps it up in five. That felt like a five-game series to me where, okay, Islanders are going to find a way to win one at home, goes back to Carolina for five, where they have a distinct home ice advantage, and they should wrap that up. So I don't see it there with that series, and that would be the biggest long shot of any of them to come back. I could see Tampa making it a bit of a series. Obviously, they'd have to win tonight to force another game, but I just think Florida is distinctly the better team there as well. The one that I actually would be the Leafs-Bruins series. At the end of the day, the Bruins usually break the hearts of Maple Leafs fans, but these series tend to go 6-7 games. So if Toronto can get the win in Boston on Tuesday night, I think they have a good shot of winning game six back on home ice and forcing a seven. So ultimately winning the series, I think, would be tough. But if you are looking for a price to get in on, I think it would probably be the Maple Leafs, and then maybe give yourself some hedge opportunity if it does get into that that game seven situation. But ultimately, guys, I do think that all of those teams in the East that are up 3-1 are up 3-1 for a reason and should probably find a way to close out those series eventually.
All right, but you just made the people listening on Game Plus in Toronto very happy with that that bit of daylight for them. What about the West? So the West, and we'll leave the Stars and the Knights, because that's the only series that's played three games. But we also have three 3-1 series currently. Colorado up 3-1 on Winnipeg. It's been an interesting series. Winnipeg took the first game. Vancouver 3-1 over the Preds. And then the Oilers 3-1 over the Kings. Any of those teams that are down 3-1 that you could see coming back and winning the series and therefore making a bet on?
Yeah, Jets fans probably feel like a bit of deja vu from last year where they won game one against Vegas and they looked really good and everyone thought, okay, are the Jets going to go on a run? And then Vegas just won four straight, and obviously we know what the Knights were able to do after that. So Colorado's maybe hoping for a similar fate as to Vegas last year where, okay, yeah, you lose game one against the Jets, then you kind of get on a roll. When they get it into a different gear, guys, there's few teams that can play at the pace that the Colorado Avalanche can, and I just think that the Jets are having a really tough time keeping up with that pace. I think they're a deeper team up front, but just with that pace that I referenced that Colorado's playing at, I think it's just too difficult for Winnipeg to come back in the series. I think people in Winnipeg are already trying to sell their home game tickets, guys. So I think waving the white flag here in this series. I do think in the Nashville-Vancouver series, for large chunks of that series, Nashville has been the better team. But last night is just, that's a tough loss to come back from. You're up 3-1 with 3 minutes to go in the game to tie up the series, and you let Vancouver score two goals and then the quick overtime winner. So that is just that's a crippling loss right there. And again, referencing LA and Edmonton, another series that's now 3-1. I thought LA was distinctly the better team in that game last night, dominated the play 5-on-5, just could not score a goal on Stuart Skinner and the Edmonton Oilers. Oilers get their one power play and they score on it and they win the game 1-0. So a frustrating loss for LA. I would give Nashville, I think, the best chance of any of those three teams to claw their way back into the series, just because Vancouver is still down to their third string goaltender and facing some challenges there.
Let me just give you the actual numbers from DraftKings to see if this in any way changes your mind. The Kings are 12-1 to come back and beat the Oilers. Islanders 13-1 come back to beat the Hurricanes. Lightning 9-1 to come back and beat the Panthers. Leafs are 8-1 to come back and beat the Bruins. Jets are plus 750 to come back and beat the Avalanche. And the Preds, 6-1 to come back and beat the Canucks. By the way, they already have a Hurricanes-Rangers series price where the Hurricanes are minus 140 and the Rangers are plus 120.
Give me gears on that one, guys, at plus money. I mean, the Rangers were my cup pick at the start of the playoffs, so I think I have to ride with them. And we all knew this series was going to happen. Carolina still needs to win one game for it to officially happen, but I do like them to get it done against the Islanders. That's a series we've all had circled really for the entirety of the season. seeing that those two teams in the Metropolitan Division were just in a tier, a class of their own. So it almost feels like their playoffs will officially start in round two, that round one was almost a warm-up for both of these teams. I'm a little surprised at the series price just because the Rangers, you know, they do have home ice advantage in that series, and to see them open up at plus 120, very interesting to me, and as somebody that really likes this Rangers team.
By the way, is it common practice for them to put up a series price of a series that's not yet established, even if it's only one game away? Is that like a thing?
I think that just speaks to how obvious those first two round series were. The fact that they're already ready, locked and loaded with odds for us to bet that second round series. I'm surprised they didn't post them like 2 months ago.
I've seen DraftKings do it before, but it's rare. Yeah. Yes, it's rare.
All right, tonight we have a doubleheader. Lightning Panthers Game 5, the aforementioned Game 5 in that series. And then the Stars and the Golden Knights. Game 4, Golden Knights won the first two on the road. Stars come back, win it in overtime. In Game 3, your thoughts on these two?
Game 3 was awesome. I loved Game 3. Obviously, the Stars were in a desperation situation. You lose two games on home ice, and you're thinking, okay, this thing could get away from us really fast. So they went into Vegas. They found a way. It's never going to be easy to win games in Vegas like we saw. They needed overtime. Wyatt Johnston with a great tough angle shot. That kid is a heck of a player and just continues to get better. He's been moved up in Dallas's lineup as well to try to create a little bit more offense from some of the top players. I still can't get behind them as a road favorite here, guys. That I do love the Stars team. I think they're a slightly better team than Vegas. And even though they lost both on home ice, I thought that they looked pretty good at times in those games. Just based strictly on the price, I'd have to roll with the Knights here. If you could find plus money on home ice with a Vegas team, I think this game should be close. And if I think it's going to be close, I got to side with the home team at plus money here with Vegas.
And just to clarify, nothing in the other game?
No play on a side, but I do like Sam Reinhart over 3.5 shots on goal in that game. He continues to shoot a lot. And Andrei Vasilevskiy, the goaltender for Tampa Bay, over 28.5 saves for that one as well. I think if Tampa has any shot, it's going to have to be a 30-plus save performance from Vasilevskiy.
Yeah. And can I just say this again about the Golden Knights? Because I don't think it gets said enough here, because people here in Vegas are like, yeah, of course we got to the Stanley Cup Finals year one and won it in year six. 44 years it took the Caps to win a Stanley Cup. And they were only in one finals before that in the first 43.
It's still one of the most amazing sports things I've ever seen.
It's
they
incredible.
Make me leave the bar early, Gil. All the fans show up and I say, I got to get out of here. I need to go watch the NBA. Too many Golden Knights fans.
They have no idea, Jake. None. They're too young to know. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it. Jake Hahn, everybody. At Jake Hahn 4 on Twitter. Buddy. Thank you, buddy. We'll come back. Kentucky Derby with so much more NBA as well.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Don't forget to check out our new website, by the way, VSiN.com, even though we don't really have that promo here. Kelly, I just wanted to point that out. Just came
hey, there's
mind.
Always great stuff on VSiN.com.
Always. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting out, or betting guides, rather, I should say. VSiN.com. Check it out. Did I mention it's Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D? I think I did. Ladies and gentlemen, we're always thrilled when he joins us on Mondays to talk all kinds of sports. We will get to the Kentucky Derby because Mike Somich's wheelhouse is horse racing, but he's got so many other sports to talk about. First, he joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at SomoBomb18. SomoBomb. No, not yet. Okay, there we go. Just get it out of the way. Mike, how you doing, man? Good morning.
Doing well. It was a frustrating game-by-game betting over the weekend, but the series are going to save me here, so hopefully we can get the results we need to end these series out.
What are your series bets again?
I've got the Pacers -1.5, Pacers in 6. I've got under 5.5 games in the Nuggets-Lakers series. I've got the Panthers -170, Panthers -1.5. Just a whole bunch of them out there. The only loser right now looks like the Predators, which is wildly frustrating because they should have won both game 3 and game 4, but hockey'd on us and they lost both.
I was just going to say hockey happened. That's exactly right. Okay, well, let's start with basketball because you do have one bet in the NBA tonight.
Yeah, I do. I'm going to go back to the well here. Played this, played the Celtics and the Heat under on Saturday. That one went comfortably under 188 points on 104.5 closing number. I like the under again today. Look, the game two of just anomaly of the 3-point shooting from the Heat, shooting 54%, pushed that game way over the total. I don't agree that this is a total series that should be necessarily played toward the over. I expect Boston to be able to win by margin again, and the Heat play slower when they're at home. So everything points toward the under here to me. So I'm going back to the under 203.5 here, Celtics in the Heat.
Okay, and since you brought up, oh, by the way, your biggest bet in basketball, let us reestablish, is that the Celtics' total number of losses in the Eastern Conference remains at one. That's the biggest bet that you have going. Let's establish that.
That's the most important bet, Gil. That's, I'm not going to say it's the biggest one out there, it's but the definitely most important. The most important one.
It's absolutely the most important. Number set at 5.5, by the way. Samich has the under. All right, hockey. Let's start with, you just mentioned the Panthers. You have a series bet on that. On them, they are going to game 5 tonight, looking for the gentleman's sweep, Sergei Bobrovsky and the Panthers, and you have a bet on them as well tonight.
I do. Let's close it out here in 5. Let's not even have to worry about the -1.5 getting a sweat into game 6. Look, the Panthers are the better team in this series. They outplayed the Lightning pretty drastically game 1 through 3. Game 4, you saw that the Lightning team showed up, showed a little bit of heart there. You were expecting them to play well. They did. Now they got to go back to Miami, take on this Panthers team at home. And look, the Panthers are just better. Up and down the lineup, they are just better. And so I'm willing to lay the 1.5 here. +136, the Panthers can close this puppy out tonight in 5 games.
All right, and then game 4, the only series that has not played 4 games. The Knights won the first 2, as we mentioned, at Dallas. Dallas comes back, wins game 3 in overtime here at T-Mobile. You are you're threading a needle here in this game with a couple bets. What are you doing?
I am. So this is one of the interesting parts about betting the playoffs. You have to handicap emotion and the mental capacity of these teams. And this series in itself has been very interesting. I love advanced metrics in hockey. Expected goals is a very interesting one. It takes the probability of a goal scored based on where the shot was came from and who shot it. Well, based on the expected goals, the Stars are up 3-0 in this series. Yet we look down and it's 2-1 Golden Knights. The Golden Knights got embarrassed last game. The expected goals in that was the Dallas Stars 5.5 to the Golden Knights 1.5. They just got outplayed up and down the ice. Logan Thompson kept them in that game. I think you're going to see a very good early response here from the Golden Knights. So I took some 1st-to-5 shots action with the Vegas Golden Knights. I think they come out, play very well, very fast on home ice early in this game, get to that 5-shot number. But I don't think they win the game. I think Dallas is still the better team here in this series. They looked awesome in game 3. They dominated play in game 2. Game 1 was a little bit more even. I think Dallas wins this game, but I do think Vegas comes out hot. So give me Vegas Golden Knights 1st-to-5 shots -115. And then I'll take the Dallas Stars. I laid -120 with them for the full game tonight.
See what he did there? 1st-to-5 shots on the Knights, but he has the Stars winning the game. By the way, do you have any futures plays in hockey to win it all? Or if I had just asked you, bets aside, who you think ends up in the Stanley Cup Finals? What's your instinct?
I'm sitting on a 40-1 Predators ticket, which would have been a lot better if we were up 3-1 instead of down 3-1. So that's probably going in the trash can. If I was going to jump in right now, look, the Stars at 11-1, I think, is a very good price because they're down 2-1 in the series. You're able to get them at a much better number than expected. They were as high as 15-1 this weekend, as high as 25-1 before game 3. They are really the best team in the West. It's just whether or not they're going to be able to get timely goals and they're going to be able to stay out of the box against this Golden Knights team. If they win tonight, you're going to see their price plummet to sub 7-1. And the other team that I'm interested in here, and it's kind of chalky, the Carolina Hurricanes have looked phenomenal through this first round. They lost game 4 to the Islanders, but played very well. They've got great goaltending, multiple lines of scoring, very good defense, and they control the puck and control the pace of the game, which are huge parts of the playoffs as well.
You agree with me that Knights fans are the most spoiled fans in all of sports? Golden Knights.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you think about it. Going to the Stanley Cup Finals in your first year, winning a cup within your first 7, having a just consistently good roster, it's been ridiculous how well this has gone for Las Vegas. And I argue Las Vegas is one of the best sports towns in America. When I lived there, the 51s were playing, and the Area 51s, the minor league baseball team, you couldn't get a ticket. That thing was sold out constantly. There was a minor league team that was playing in Orleans Arena for hockey. Tickets were like $100 to go to those games. People want sports in Vegas. And to be able to have really the first professional sports team come in and get the level of play they have gotten early in this franchise's history is just wildly lucky.
Can I tell my JVT story? JVT, who I love, Jonathan Von Tobel, obviously a great host here at the network, does VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray every night, 6 p.m. Eastern. JVT, when the Knights, I don't know if he'll even remember this, but it stuck with me. When the Golden Knights and the Capitals were in the Stanley Cup Finals in 2018, keep in mind, this is the Knights' first year, and it's the Caps' 44th. And the Caps had only been to one finals the previous 43 years. And I was wearing an Ovechkin shirt, and JVT had the audacity to say to me, "Oh, yeah, you just get that last week." I'm like, "Oh, my God." These Golden Knights fans are unbelievable. Okay, before we get to the Derby, which we'll have a whole segment to get to because that's your wheelhouse, you are actually considering jumping into May, the month of May, most wins in Major League Baseball from May 1st through May 31st, yes?
I mean, you guys got my brain ticking here because you talked about the Guardians bet. First off, phenomenal job there, Gil, 65-1, great price. But it makes you think, okay, maybe there is some way to kind of exploit this market. And so I texted Kelly and then said, "Hey, what's the number on the Blue Jays? Because this is a team that you know Guerrero and Bichette really haven't started hitting yet, but the pitching's okay. And if they can stay out of division, they have a much better chance of cashing a bet like this. You look over the Blue Jays schedule, they've got 6 against the White Sox. Well, they're not very good. They've got 4 against the Tigers, 3 against the Nationals. They've got to play Baltimore in a 3-game set, which is a little tough, but their other series are Philadelphia, Minnesota, Tampa Bay, all of them winnable. They may lose just one series in the entire month. They're sitting on the board at 28-1. So I don't know if I even have access to this market. I've got to see if I do. But if I do, I may take some Blue Jays 28-1.
Okay. Eric Biggio did tweet us. We read his tweet. They not only have at William Hill Caesars, they not only have most regular season wins in May, dead heat rules apply, by the way. And if you want to know who the short shot is, it is the Orioles at 4-1. You know who the second short shot is? Cleveland Guardians 5-1. 5-1.
Too much Guardians exposure.
I think we might. Yeah, it's. By the way, I haven't even looked at the Guardians schedule in May. They also though have MLB team. Now this is interesting. They also have MLB team with most wins by the All-Star break.
Oh, that's cool.
Braves, the usual suspects are at the top here. Braves, Yankees, Dodgers, Orioles, Phillies, and then the Guardians at 12-1. Okay.
It feels like that would be a less exploitable market.
Yes, that's correct.
Because you really want the variance when you're playing these markets. And the shorter the time frame, the higher the variance you're going to get. So playing the All-Star break market, you should expect it's Dodgers and Braves, someone like that. But these month-to-month markets, you could find a team that can get hot.
I like when Mike Somich comes on and then says what I was thinking 34 days ago. That's exactly right. That's why we did the bet, because it's the perfect length, right? It's just manageable enough that it's like you can see where the advantage is, and you can see, obviously, there's a spectrum. Things can go your way, things can not go your way, but you can see if it just tilts your way a little how you have this short horizon bet that you're right. If you do it from now to the All-Star break, the immense talent of the Atlanta Braves is much more likely to win out, right? Now, you don't expect to lose in a short time frame, though. You also hope that you don't lose a game to rain because it means that much more, which we did. You don't lose your starter to Tommy John surgery, which we did, you know, all that stuff. But again, the Braves lost all that, too, and more. The Braves are just amazing. I'll ask you before we go to break. Why doesn't everybody have a Braves to win it all ticket? They're so much better than everybody else.
Because of the MLB playoffs
happens.
What I mean, like, the thing we talk about, how there's a lack of variance. Why, like, my argument, Gil, if you like the Braves, why don't you have a most wins in the regular season ticket? Because that, again, goes back to having less variance. When you get into these 7-game playoff series, anything can happen. And we saw that last year. So I'm looking for the longer term if I'm playing those type of teams on a short number.
I made that point when I asked it rhetorically out loud. I said yes, and no one has talked about the incongruence of the playoffs versus 162 more than I have. They're so good that I just feel like no one can beat them. At least as they look right now. Somich on the Derby. You will not want to miss this. The foremost authority. I just gave him that much. Kentucky Derby next with Mike Somich. Numbers Game, Visa.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game live at Bar Canada at the D. Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin. Mike Somich, kind enough to join us for a second straight segment. You can follow him on Twitter at SomoBomb18. He is, of course, the co-host of The Handle, which he does with Matt Brown each and every weekend here at 12 noon Eastern, Saturdays and Sundays. And Mike, I went into the break and I said the foremost authority on the Kentucky Derby. And people are like, wow, that's got to be crazy exaggeration. By the way, Mike comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. But you have crushed the Derby, yes?
Yeah, we've had a good couple years here. I mean, I did not have Rich Strike 2 years ago, but the prior year to that, able to hit the superfecta, gave that one out on a couple different airwaves. It was a $24 ticket. That one paid just under $5,000. And last year, if you watched any of the content, including what we were talking about here on VSiN right up until the race, I like Mage quite a bit, 15-1. He was able to get home first there, had the try as well. So it's been a very good last few years in the Derby. Hopefully we can keep it running.
That sounds awesome. Okay, before we get to your thoughts, now people are prepped for it. Give us 2 minutes, if you would, on if the average sports bettor is just landing on this, and I think it speaks for a lot of us who are just like, okay, I love betting sports. Horses is a completely different thing, and yes, I show up for the Triple Crown, but just a brief sort of primer on betting the Derby.
Yeah, there's a couple things you have to take note. I mean, first off, it's the difference between sports betting and parimutuel betting. So with sports betting, you're betting directly against a sports book, right? So you're competing with DraftKings, you're competing with Caesars, whoever it is, and you're locked into your number. So if you played the Chiefs -1.5 in the Super Bowl, no matter what that line moves to, you've got Chiefs -1.5. In a parimutuel pool, the pool stays open right up until the race goes off. And so you can see wagers that come in and are able to shift those odds, because in a parimutuel pool, the track essentially takes their percentage and then the rest of the money is split between all of the winning wagers. So if you bet Fierceness the 17 and he's 3-1 on the board, if someone comes in and bets $1 million on Fierceness, you're going to get 5-2 or 2-1 instead of that 3-1 when you bet it. So you got to pay attention to those odd shifts. It's a reason why a lot of people will late till later to bet this race. Now, more Kentucky Derby focused, this is the only race in America where you have 20 horses in the field. It's the only race in America where you have every single horse who has never run this far before. So there are some big time variance parts of this that come into play. Where you're positioned in the gate makes a massive difference. Where you are in the field in the early running makes a big time difference. Very hard to pass 19 horses if you are in last and not get stopped at some point because someone's backing up into you. So the traffic is a real issue in the Derby. It's a great race to take shots. And so if you do like a price, great. Make sure you put that price, put a win bet in on it. If you like a horse like Fierceness, if you like a horse like Sierra Leone, putting them on top of a trifecta and then putting multiple horses underneath gives you a chance to put prices underneath and kind of move toward a very big payout. And that's been my general strategy, is I'll put one or two horses in the first place position in the trifecta and the superfecta, and then I will put 4-5 in that second or third place position and try and get big numbers behind a short price, or just try and fill it out depending on if I like a big price on top.
All right, so we don't have post positions yet. That is coming up later in the week. Sierra Leone is the short shot. Oh, we do have post positions?
We do have post positions. Oh. So they drew on Saturday.
Wait,
Fierceness ends up.
Yeah.
Fierceness drew the 17 post. And the thing you're going to consistently hear is no horse has ever won the Kentucky Derby out of the 17 post in 150 runnings. Well, that's kind of a false narrative, so don't fall for it. First off, there haven't been 150 17 horses. So
right.
I think it's 43 times we've run out of the 17 gate. Of those 43 times, only two have been a favorite. And they have not had a price that's shorter than 25-1 since they switched to the 20 horse gate. So it's not as big of a disadvantage as you're going to consistently hear from everybody. And Fierceness also sets up well from that 17 post. He's got early speed. He'll stay out of trouble out there. He'll be 3 wide on both turns. But if that's all that happens to him, if that's the biggest trouble he faces, he's able to win this race from the 17 post. Your other favorite, the 2 horse Sierra Leone, draws that 2 spot. And it's close to a death sentence to me in this race for him, because he is going to be last first time under the finish line. This horse is a dead closer. And when you have 20 horses, all of them move inward toward the rail once the break happens. And that means that the inside horses get absolutely smashed and pushed back. So he is going to break slow and then get smashed and pushed all the way back to the last part of the field. Also a very big horse. He's not all that athletic. So once he gets going, if he has to stop, it's going to be a huge problem for him, which means he's probably 8-9 wide on that second turn just to make sure he doesn't get stopped. And then it's a tall task for him to run everybody down.
All right. So Fierceness now, a slightly shorter shot than Sierra Leone. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just going to say Circa Sports has him up +225 on Fierceness, +375 on Sierra Leone.
Seeing close to $3. You got to shop around for these two. Okay, take it from there, Mike. So beyond Fierceness, then, how are you going to bet this, and what horses will you include?
Right now, Fierceness is my pick, and I reserve the right to change that if I need to, but right now I do have Fierceness on top. I'll have the official ones here on Thursday, and then I'll have an article on VSiN.com on Friday with my official plays as well. There are four horses that I thought drew very, very well. When you're looking at these draws, you want to look for horses that are between that 5 and 15 post. That's traditionally where they've seen the most success at the Derby. Horses between the 5 and 10 post have a 20% rate of finishing in the top three, so that's a phenomenal draw for those horses. And there's a couple that drew there that I am very interested in. The 7 horse, Honor Marie, a horse that should appreciate the extra distance, has been improving consistently. Right now, 20-1 on the morning line. That's a horse I'm going to be using underneath. Not sure Honor Marie can win the race, but I do think Anna Marie has a very good shot at hitting the trifecta or the superfecta. The number 8, Just a Touch. Gil, I know you're going to be excited about this one. Drew very, very well. It's a horse with tactical speed. Lost to Sierra Leone last time, but did so much more work contesting an early fast pace and then still ran well at the end. I thought that was a very impressive race from Just a Touch. You should project to get a very good trip. And then the 9 horse in Sino, another one who drew very well, 20-1 on the morning line. This horse went gate to wire last time in the Bluegrass, but if you flip it back 2 races ago, was able to come from off the pace and be able to close. I think you're going to get more of that stalking trip from Encino. This is a horse moving in the right direction. Just a Touch and Encino, both Brad Cox horses as well. He's fared very well at the Derby. And Encino 20-1. The other horse you're going to hear a lot about, the 10 horse, Forever Young. This is a Japanese horse. We've never had a Japanese horse win the Derby. Won the UAE Derby. We've never had a UAE Derby winner win the Derby. This could be the year. I think this Forever Young is a legitimate threat to be able to win this race, and one that I'm going to definitely have in my exactas and my trifectas.
Okay, so in some form, all the horses that you mentioned may be included in your bets, is what you're saying?
Yeah, right now I am probably going to play Fierceness on top, and so I'll have Fierceness in that one spot, and then play a couple horses in the 2 spot, and then spread out in the 3 or 4 spot in the superfecta, and spread out in that 2 and 3 spot in the trifecta, with the idea that if I'm playing the favorite on top, in a race with 20 horses, you have to find prices underneath. That's the best way to create value. If you're playing long shots on top, let's say you want to put Just a Touch or Encino on top, you can have Sierra Leone, you can have Fierceness underneath them and still make quite a bit of money because you've got that big price on top. But because I'm going for that, for Fierceness on top right now, I'm going to have to spread out some prices underneath to make sure it's profitable.
Okay. By the way, I take no credit for Just a Touch. I asked Felica like a month ago, and I asked Flatter a month ago, hey, what horse, you know, of these, I would send him a screenshot. Both of them happened to match on Just a Touch, so I made a bet then, 20-1. By the way, I'm lifetime 1-45, I think, on Kentucky Derbies. American Pharaoh, thank you so much for getting me off the schneid. You mentioned that about, because you're right, we do hear about these trends, right? And we know about them in sports betting, but on the Derby, no horse has ever won from 17, you pointed out. And you're right, like the first Derby, what were they, like 5 horses? So you don't even get close to a 17th position. So it's been less than 50 where there's actually been a horse in the 17 spot. What are some of the other big myths that you hear about the Derby that people should listen to and be like, that's noise, that's not a signal?
Well, I think one of the big misses is the smaller trainers not able to win this race. Last year, we saw Delgado win it. He was a smaller trainer. Year before that, Rich Strike wins it for a smaller trainer, smaller barn. You don't have to be a big name to win this race. You don't need to be a big name jockey to win this race. You're going to be able to see some connections jump up and be able to get the job done, even though they're not Brown, Pletcher, Cox. And to me, the interesting debate here is around the pace. And if you looked at, in 2013, the Derby switched over to a points race strategy to get in, which means that you had to accrue points by winning prep races. And those prep races were all a mile or longer. Prior to 2013, it was stakes earnings, which includes sprint races. So you saw the pace of the Derby be very fast before 2012. Since 2013, we've seen that pace be much slower. And because of that, we've only seen 3 horses be able to close and win the Derby. The other 7 years, you had to be in the top 3 at the half mile point to be able to win the Derby. I think we're going to revert more back to that top 3 at the half mile point with this style of field. You've got a couple of very good closers, but there isn't a ton of pace signed on. It's going to be a fast pace, but you're not going to see that. You know, the last 2 years have been 2 of the fastest paces in the Derby history, and that's why closers won those races. You're going to hear a lot of play the closers, play the closers. They've won the last 2 years. I would point back to the previous 5 years where no closer was even close to winning the race because we saw those slower paces.
The 150th run for the Roses on Saturday, a big landmark for this race. We leave with the question that I ask every time when we go up to the Derby. If I came to you from the future, and I know you like Fierceness here, maybe it's the answer, maybe it's something else. But if I came to you from the future, Mike, and I said a horse won the Triple Crown, that horse would be?
Fierceness is the only one that can win it from this field. No one else is good enough.
There it is. Very simple.
Boom.
Maybe a Fierceness Triple Crown bet. Maybe No. See, even that, he's like, okay, maybe not. By the way, to win the Triple Crown, Fierceness 10-1.
Yeah, that should be like 35.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
It's not even close. Okay, Mike, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Have a good one, guys.
You too. Mike Sommet, SommetBomb18 on the Twitter machine, co-host of The Handle with Matt Brown here at the network. We'll come back. More NBA next.